It's 5 o'clock.
Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth, brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. I'm glad you're with me. I am the true redistributionist. I'm going to give you your fair share today. You can stick a fork in her because she's done. Here's what's sad about this Hillary Clinton aspect. That probably the Russians and the Chinese governments know more about Hillary Clinton's email server than do we. Lurch, John Kerry, admitted as much the other day when he was on CBS News being interviewed. He said that he just assumed that the Russians and the Chinese were reading his emails. And now that more of these emails have come out, we now know that Hillary repeatedly originated and distributed highly classified national security information from her private email server. Her classified emails were not constrained to just the State Department. She also sent classified information to Sidney Blumenthal, who had no security clearance whatsoever. He, of course, is the former Clinton White House operative that was banned by the Obama administration. This slow drip, drip, drip is only going to get worse. I don't see how she can just stay in this. She's changed her story more times than Steve changed his socks in the last... she just constantly changes her story.
I do that once a day.
Well, there you go. She's changed her story just as much. So now, for the second day in a row, because there was this big email dump on Monday, the second day in a row now, the State Department, for their part, is covering up. And they won't say if Hillary's server was breached. And by the way, this is her private server, who she had no business. She had no business having a private server. Listen to the response from the State Department. They won't say if the server was breached. They won't say yes or no. Okay? Which, of course, obviously, it was breached. That's why they won't say. Listen.
Speaking of breaches, is the State Department confident that nobody breached the Secretary's private server?
I don't have an answer for you on that. That's, I don't know.
I don't know. That's the first dodge. Here's the second dodge. The State Department won't say who, if anyone, signed off on Clinton's secret server, whether they knew she had a secret server, which I'm sure they did because anybody can see when you send an email where it's coming from. Okay? This is the State Department trying to explain that yesterday.
The State Department signed off on Secretary Clinton having her own private email account and server.
Sure. My unsatisfactory but necessary answer to that is, again, that's not our role in this process to really answer that question publicly. That there are reviews and investigations underway that will look at possibly some of these issues is for other entities to speak to.
But do you know who signed off on her having a private server?
Who signed off on her? I don't know. Again, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not going to litigate that question from the podium.
So you're saying that nobody signed off on her having a private server?
No, I'm saying, look, everyone, there were people understood that she had a private server. I think we've talked about that in the past.
What level was that knowledge? How high did that go up in this building?
I mean, you know, you've seen from the emails, you have an understanding of people who are communicating with her, at what level they were communicating at. So,
was there anybody in this building who was against the secretary having her own private server?
I can't answer that. I don't have the history, but I also don't have, I don't have the authority to speak definitively to that.
But
again, these are questions that are appropriate, but appropriate for other processes and reviews.
But not the State Department. She was the Secretary of State.
No, I understand what you're asking, but frankly, you know, it's perfectly plausible. And I talked a little bit with Arshad about this yesterday. For example, we know that the state IG is at the secretary's request, is looking at the processes and how we can do better and improve our processes. And whether they'll look at these broader questions, that's a question for them.
Kind of reminds me of Sergeant Schultz out of Hogan's Heroes.
I see nothing. And that's just that portion of it, the private email server and where that came from. But this brings to mind the 18 and a half minutes of conversation erased by Richard Nixon at the Oval Office. But the Clinton camp wants voters to think that her email affair is much more complicated and far less outrageous than Nixon's tape tampering. Clinton campaign manager Jennifer Palmieri recently deflected questions by saying, "Now everybody's an expert on wiping servers. I don't know how all that works." In other words, there's nothing to see here, but this is all tech mumbo jumbo. It's way too complicated for us to figure out. No, it's not, actually. It's exactly the same thing. It's actually far worse. This is a woman who was Secretary of State, and she wants us to vote for her as president. So two things are happening here. Either she didn't know what was going on, because it was way too technical for her. She didn't know what was going on, i.e. The classified nature of her email. She didn't know what was going on. It's far too technical for her. She's just a grandmother, for God's sakes. Or she's intentionally lying. Because it's one of the two. It's one of the two. Now, if she's lying, and she's not trustworthy, then we shouldn't vote for her. And if she's incompetent, then we shouldn't vote for her either. But she wants us to vote for her. So I just don't see how she's able to survive this. And this is going to be a constant thing. And you're seeing it by the fact that Joe Biden, by the way, crazy Joe Biden is down in South Florida today. And they're talking about how he's gonna save the Democrat Party. The Democrats have no one. They have no one. They have no bench. Who are they going to run? Here's another follow-up question about who signed off on the private server from the State Department. This is for Master.
Last opportunity here. You don't know who signed off on Secretary Clinton having her own server?
Again, I don't personally, but I don't think it's our necessarily our our responsibility to say that. I think that's for other entities to look at.
It's for other entities to look at. Okay. I mean, if you look at some of these emails, and this is yesterday on Morning Joe. This is yesterday on Morning Joe. Which, by the way, when you've lost MSNBC, when you've lost MSNBC, it's over. Because even MSNBC is going after. Washington Post columnist Jonathan Capehart, of course, defended Hillary. But Joe Scarborough questioned the nature of some of these emails. Wait a minute. I'm just loading this up here. If you look at the totality of what she has done, this is Nixonian. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, if you think about it, this is how far we've come, where Nixon was basically impeached for some bumbling idiots that tried to break into the headquarters and the 18-minute gap. Listen, this is MSNBC.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. The State Department has released a giant collection of emails from Hillary Clinton's private server. 7,000 pages worth confidential material has found about 150 of the emails. None of the emails were top secret. There is a redacted email forwarded from Ambassador Richard Holbrooke after a trip from Kabul for Jake Sullivan and the secretary, and quote, please no one else. In another email, Sullivan emails about visas for a trip to Burma, noting the email is unclassified. Apparently other officials disagreed, marking classified literally right next to it, and heavily redacting the rest. In an exchange with George Mitchell about meetings with Mahmoud Abbas and others, Clinton asks him to use her personal email address. Sections that the State Department later determined were classified were redacted.
By the way,
in another email, Clinton seems annoyed. She
you
writes,
know
it's
a public
statement. Just email it. Jake Sullivan replies, trust me, I share your exasperation, but until operations converts it to the unclassified email system, there is no physical way for me to email it. I can't even access it.
That's pretty extraordinary. Let's just stop right there for a second. First of all,
I don't want to stop that right there for a second. I've got Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News out of Washington. Ellen, you know, it seems that every single day there are more revelations about the Hillary Clinton and her emails. I don't see why is she going to continue to run until she's indicted or led away in handcuffs? I don't get it. When is enough enough for this woman?
Well, the question is whether she's going to be indicted, and I think that she will stay in the race unless she's indicted.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
She's somebody who just does not give up.
I think that that's absolutely true. I think that even if she is indicted, she will run. She will continue to run until she is led away in handcuffs, I think.
Well, the fact is when you ask people in the Democratic Party if there is anybody else, they'll say no. The vice president, it looks like he's deciding maybe he's not going to run. And then you have, you know, Martin O'Malley, Bernie Sanders, and what's the guy from Virginia? There's two others.
Exactly. You can't even name them. It's true. You're talking about Jim Webb and you're talking about Lincoln Chafee, okay?
That's right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I know. But that's how inconsequential they are. I mean, you, there's literally no one. And it's amazing to me that the Democrat Party, you know, really thought that Hillary was going to be a good nominee. You and I talked about this over a year ago and how I said, and you said the same, that she wouldn't be the nominee. She is such a bad retail politician, really. I mean, it even just comes down to that. She's just a horrible politician.
Well, I think sometimes she has a tin ear. That's how I would say it.
Is that what you would call it? A tin ear. Okay. All right.
What happened, and I know I've talked to you about this before, is that she did not open up her Hillary health discussions back when. She probably would have been able to pass it had she done that, but she closed them off. That's the kind of thing that got her in trouble and will get her in trouble again.
Yeah, and I think it's also just her hubris and lack of any remorse. I mean, if she had maybe addressed this at the beginning, maybe told the truth, said, you know, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, you know, because America loves it when you apologize. I think, you know, the fact that she continues to deny is going to ultimately sink her as well. You know, I just think that there's this perception that she's a liar, she's untrustworthy, and people aren't going to vote for her. You know, so.
Well, the question is, you know, everybody says she's not going to make it, but the question is, who are the Republicans going to put up? And, you know, you just never know. Ben Franklin said a week is a long time in politics.
I know. It's, I don't see how, I mean, it is early, but it looks, I really do think that Donald Trump is going to be the nominee.
Well, we'll see. Ben Carson looks like he's catching up in Iowa.
I can't hear Ben Carson. He needs to speak up. I don't know what he's saying. He could be saying, I want to kill all white people. I have no idea what he's saying. Okay? I can't hear the guy. He needs to speak up a little bit. And maybe he'll have a chance. All right, Ellen, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back.
And I want to be as transparent as possible.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Say what?
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Camelback Toyota, located conveniently on 16th Street in Camelback, off the 51 freeway, easy to get to right here in the city. You work downtown, stop on your way home, take a look at some beautiful new cars, used cars. Derek and John O'Malley Jr. and my mechanics in the back, Abe and Jerob and Tom, my man Jake, Felix, John Wicks is there, Levi. They are trained and trained heavily. They know everything backwards and forwards on any Toyota. Customer satisfaction numero uno at Camelback Toyota.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome back. All right, I want to really quickly go to this MSNBC.
She said in the human press conference about this is just patently false. And here you actually have her berating somebody that worked for her.
And works for her still today.
And works for her still, berating him, saying, send me this classified email. And he said, it's basically, I can't, it's classified. I can't even access it because it's classified.
The more this goes on, the more it becomes clearly apparent each and every day. It's not so much the tonnage of the emails. It's the way that she's handling it and the way the campaign is now handling it. The way she handled it as Secretary of State and the way now that the campaign is handling it. That's the burden that she's carrying.
But one thing we have to be clear here, in that particular example that you're pointing out, Joe, she's talking about a public statement that was put out by former British Prime Minister Tony Blair that was out there in the public, and that's what was so exasperating to her. Here's this public statement that I can't even access because, as that example also points out, there are two systems to send top secret information information is on one system, a physical system, a separate computer system, and then there's all this other stuff. The second thing is that it's up to the person sending the email to mark classified. Yeah. So when Secretary Clinton said at the UN there's no classified information, she definitely misspoke there, but
misspoke.
At the time she sent
misspoke.
And received emails, that
it's
the information
lying.
In those emails more likely than not wasn't classified. We all know in Washington that there's
not.
A huge wait. We all know. Let me get this last point out. In Washington, we all know that there is a problem of over-classification, that something that is put in an email, in a document, a report on Monday at 9 a.m. could be classified by that afternoon or a week later or months later.
Do we all know that? Because I was on the Armed Services Committee for four terms, and I can tell you
over and over and over
I served
again.
On the Armed Services Committee. This is such a Clinton spin. I served on the Armed Services Committee for four terms. I never once had a top secret meeting with everybody getting in there saying, you know what our big problem is? We're classifying too many documents.
All right, but let me...
Exactly. All right, we've got Don calling from Miami. Don, how are you?
Good morning, Edward.
Good morning.
I just have a quick question for you.
Go ahead.
Maybe help me answer this. Of all these emails that have been released so far, my curiosity is with this Benghazi, the ambassador gets killed, and I haven't heard any or read any one of these emails containing any information about Benghazi.
Well, we will, I'm sure. I'm sure that's coming. And look, and by the way, we would never have gotten any of this stuff if it wasn't for Trey Gowdy and that committee investigating Benghazi, because who filed the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, I know that's what started the ball rolling. This is really incredible that if anybody's ever been in government and you want to send something on a government server, you cannot. It's so complicated, and for her, obviously it's now why she had her own server.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, it's not even about government. It's like if you work for a corporation, you will get fired for using the private.
I would be gone in a heartbeat doing what she did.
Yeah.
My question, too, is those guys out there in Denver in that loft that had that server, did they have security clearances?
That's a good question. I mean, I can't see how they would have. I mean, this was a small little operation, little mom-and-pop operation. That kept the server in the bathroom. I mean, what a metaphor for just her campaign keeping a server in the bathroom. I mean, it's going because everything's going down the toilet for her. So.
Yeah, what I find really, really hard to comprehend is how this woman wants to run. She wants to be president. She did something like this.
Right.
She's not even fit for running being a corporation. I mean, how the hell can you run
that?
Government of the United States.
That's the amazing part, is that she actually wants us to vote for her for president. And again, like I said, there's two things going on. Either she's really stupid and she shouldn't be president, or she's lying and she shouldn't be president, both of which disqualify her from being president. So
And another point is there are people that are still supporting her.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know,
I find that another one that's just beyond.
No, dude, I heard this the other day. I was at having breakfast somewhere, and this guy says to me, oh, I'm ready for Hillary. I think we need a woman president. I was like, dude, what's wrong with you?
What's your brain? All right, well, have a good day.
All right, thanks for calling the show. I appreciate it. So I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Steve. This was on Drudge. Now the donor class wants...
Yeah, I almost was going to send that to you.
Wants Mitt Romney to run. They want Mitt Romney to run. They can't comprehend why all the other people that they've put out there, the establishment is backing, i.e. Jeb Bush, and Scott Walker, and Marco, Amnesty, Rubio. They don't understand They have no idea why. They're being rejected by the voters. So they, these lame brains have decided that Mitt Romney is going to come to the rescue. This is a two-time loser, Mitt Romney. So they're gonna put Mitt Romney up. This is the donor class. This is typical establishment donor class. Instead of maybe accepting the fact that the voters have rejected who you're putting up, and the voters are rejecting you. The voters are rejecting the donor class, the very donor class that thinks that if they put Mitt Romney up, this is how stupid these people are. I mean, truly, this is how stupid they are. So then when Donald Trump says that these guys are stupid, he's right. As a matter of fact, last night, and I've been saying this for a while, last night I'm watching the flip through the channels, and dumbass Karl Rove is on with Bill O'Reilly. Karl Rove is a loser. That's what he is. He's a loser. Okay? He's orchestrated the loss of the last two campaigns. I don't understand this guy. So last night, Donald Trump tweets out, why does O'Reilly Factor and Fox News always have Karl Rove on? He spent $430 million and lost all races. A dope who said Romney won the election. That's exactly what I was thinking. Exactly what I was thinking. Why? I'll tell you why. And I'm going to tell you another thing. I've got a very good friend of mine, and I've said this before on the show, who is a producer at Fox News, who told me, I spoke to him on Monday, told me specifically that he was in a meeting wherein they were fashioning questions in order to trip up the Donald. That those questions that Megyn Kelly came up with and everybody else came up with, Bret Baier and Chris Wallace, were all fashioned in order to bring down the Donald and to prop up all their other dopey candidates. Like John Kasich. I love, you know, John Kasich, this fake conservative that they're saying, that the media loves John Kasich. It's like John, it reminds me of John Huntsman. But going back to this point of Mitt Romney, really, Mitt Romney, and the headline in Drudge was Mitt Romney to the rescue. He's going to rescue who? He's going to rescue the donor class?
Kind of like Joe Biden to the rescue, two-time loser.
It
as
is.
Well.
It is exactly that. So this is how stupid these guys are. That they don't understand what's going on. They really still don't get it.
You think they don't get it, or they don't care?
No. Well, it's they don't want to. Right. They're going to put in their guys, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a full court press against Donald Trump. And, you know, it's no coincidence that Donald Trump and Ben Carson and all these people that are outsiders are leading in the polls. It's not a coincidence. You know, I mean, it's just not. But they want to push all these other people. And one more thing, this is hilarious to me. I saw this today. This was a little item in the paper today. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker denies he's a career politician, even though he has been in elected office since he was 25 years old and first ran for office when he was 22. The 47-year-old Republican presidential contender told CNBC that he is just a normal guy and rejects the career politician label. This is what he said. A career politician, in my mind, is somebody who's been in Congress for 25 years. The guy's been in office since he was 25 years old. He's 47 years old. But he thinks he's not a career he's just one of us. He's one of the guys. That's the problem with these people. Okay? Scott Walker. Scott Walker's not electable because he's got a little, you ever see the guy? He's got a little touch of Down syndrome on him or or something. He looks like a mongoloid or something. There's something wrong with him. All right? Scott Walker. Come on. Give me a break. All these guys, they're just a bunch of dorks. We'll be right back.
Be cool. Don't be all, like, uncool.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson. The Savage Nation.
Here's the thing to remember. We don't have a political system that's functional. The thing to remember is it's not a functional system. It's a monopoly. And like all monopolies, they're very difficult to break.
Monday through Friday, Independent Talk, 1100.
Schools are closed in and around Fox Lake, Illinois this morning as police search for three men accused of killing a veteran police officer.
Local, state, and federal authorities came in. A massive manhunt is in place still right now.
Correspondent Rosa Flores reports Lieutenant Joe Glenowitz was shot dead while chasing the suspects on foot. Wall Street hopes today is better than Tuesday. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum says Dow futures are higher after yesterday's 3% losses.
The dramatic decline was sparked by two reports that both showed a continuing sluggish economy in China. On top of that, the International Monetary Fund said that China's slowdown would impact the global economy.
Well, Consumer Reports has picked the worst cars of the year, and the Chrysler 200 leads the pack. It claims the car has a raspy four-cylinder engine and klutzy handling. Land Rover Discovery Sport and Lexus NX are among the worst SUVs.
Arizona News Radio, several thousand homes and businesses still without power following that massive storm system that moved through the central and southern deserts Monday night. Weather Service officials saying there's still weeks left of monsoon activity.
Stay attuned to the weather, to the news, to the alerts that they receive, to really pay attention to the conditions out there.
Jessica Nolte with the Weather Service. The central desert seeing more storm activity this morning with the chance increasing throughout the state later in the day. Phoenix VA Hospital plagued by more problems. At least three dozen rooms there damaged by Monday night storm. Patients moved to other rooms and other hospitals. The bid to recall state school superintendent Diane Douglas reaches the Secretary of State's office. Anti-Douglas activists filing paperwork Tuesday to collect signatures to force a recall election.
This is growing by the day. We have thousands of people who are aware and who are telling their friends and family who weren't paying attention before, who are now.
Max Goshard heading up the coalition to recall Diane Douglas, which needs over 366,000 signatures by year's end. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic is service of a foundation for a better life. Look for a wreck in the West Valley southbound loop 101 to Camelback. We also have a collision in the clearing stages northbound I-17 at Thomas. Also look for a wreck in Glendale, 43rd Avenue, this one just north of Glendale Avenue. Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat. Today they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
From the KFNX WeatherBug Weather Center for the rest of the morning, we've got scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies, a low near 83. Today, mostly sunny skies, high near 103. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low near 82. Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, high near 102. I'm Ron Pritchard from the KFNX WeatherBug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, 86 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
If you can't recall your own cell phone number,
but know the braking distance of a half-ton pickup. Traveling downhill at 57 miles per hour? Then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. That's because CarQuest Auto Parts is for those who really know and care about their car. Right now, get a half-inch drive click-style torque wrench, a $34.99 value for just $10 with the purchase of CarQuest Platinum brake pads and two rotors. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
See participating stores for details.
I'm a pair of designer shoes so expensive, my owner had to give up half decaf skim vanilla lattes just to afford me. So you can imagine my terror when a pipe burst and the apartment started flooding. There I was, trapped in the closet, water rushing all around me. But what was I to do? I'm a 6-inch stiletto. It's not like I can run.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the GEICO Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit GEICO.com today.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
In the past week, two television reporters in Roanoke, Virginia, Allison Parker and Adam Ward, were murdered by a black man who hates whites, and a white sheriff's deputy in Houston, Darren Goforth, was murdered by a black man. Neither crime has been labeled a hate crime, and no mainstream media reporting of the murders attributes either to race-based hate. For the mainstream media, the Roanoke murders were committed by a disgruntled former employee. And regarding the Houston deputy, the media reported that, in the words of the New York Times, a motive for the shooter remained unclear. I talked about this yesterday. A motive for the shooter remained unclear. You got to be an idiot not to know that what the motive was. The left denies racism in another way. When a white racist was charged with murdering 9 blacks in Charleston, South Carolina this past June, the left and the media correctly stressed the subject's racism. Indeed, when blacks are killed by whites, which it is worth noting, in many times less likely than a white being murdered by a black, and especially by white police officers, the left attributes the killings to racism, but when blacks kill whites, the left attributes the killings to guns. This is all reinforced by the left's position that only whites can be racist because only the powerful can be racist and whites have all the power. Here to discuss this is Matt Philbin from the Media Research Center. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. You know, I have to address this double standard in the media. For whatever reason, well, I mean, I know the reason, the media has a double standard when it comes to these crimes. It's just amazing to me. And it's so obvious. They have an
agenda. It's absolutely right. Look, if a white guy commits a crime, against a black guy, it's a hate crime. If a black guy commits a crime against a white guy, the gun did it. That's
right.
The end of the story,
right,
for them. They are not interested in the deeper, just the underlying truth of the matter that, you know, racism is not confined to whites. And unfortunately, they let activists get away with saying some of the stupidest things. Chris Hayes on MSNBC, not that that's a credible news source, but he let this black activist last night say that the bacon chant that the Black Lives Matters people were doing outside the state fair was playful. It wasn't really, you know, meant to be anything. You know, meanwhile, there was a dead cop in Houston. So it's this double standard all the way. They're just being playful. Now, my question is, if they had chanted bacon outside a Ramadan festival.
Forget it.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, forget it. You know, and actually, I want to play that for you. I want to play that clip for you about what you're talking about so the listeners can get an idea of what we're talking about here. Let me just play this for you real quick. This is the chant at the Minnesota State Fair, I think.
Mm-hmm. Just takes a disturbing turn. This from Minnesota. Watch.
This group marching at the state fair, chanting horrific things. Pigs in a blanket, fry 'em like bacon, they're saying. Casey Stegall's live in Houston where the...
So, you know, I wanted to address that because, you know, I remember those on the left also... criticizing the Tea Party as being racist. Remember that? And the Tea Party was seriously a bunch of old ladies wearing jogging outfits and
tri-corner hats.
Yeah, yeah. And talking about the fact that the government is spending too much money. That was racist. That was racist. But these guys are actually chanting pigs in a blanket, fry 'em like bacon. And you know what? And I got to tell you, you know, you have also Barack Obama that has come out. And, after all these killings has said rather forcefully that it's been racism and with the Dylan Roaf thing. And you saw it with Michael Brown. And by the way, and I said this yesterday, this black lies. Because it is a lie. Black Lives Matter came about because of a false narrative, a lie that Michael
Absolutely.
Brown was, innocent and he had his hands up and don't shoot. But you know, it's again the double standard is it's amazing to me. You know, it just
yep.
it continues and it's dumbfounding. It just it pisses me off.
Yeah, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Those clever scamps with their playful chants. This is hatred, okay?
Yeah.
This is hatred. This is stirring hatred in a way that if it came from white people, would be the scandal of the century. But because it's coming from the left, from black people, everybody kind of, they've got a point. And, sometimes they say things they shouldn't say, but they've got a point. No, if this were coming from the other side, this would be racism rearing its ugly head. We've got this terrible problem in America. It's not going away, and we need to have more conversation about race. It's sad the way they will not tell the story as it is.
Yeah, and now you have, the Democrat Party basically embracing the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, it's just, and you got a guy like Martin O'Malley who had to apologize for saying all lives matter. I heard Bernie Sanders over the weekend, who was asked about this, and Bernie Sanders was, he backtracked, and it's amazing to me when Dylan Roaf did what he did. You know, obviously Dylan Roaf was a racist, and he was a deranged individual, and he was condemned for that, rightly so. We talked about. The Confederate flag was immediately, like, within 2 weeks done. Okay.
Oh yeah.
But
I'd like to see say the rainbow flag in the wake of the killing in Roanoke. Like to see that considered a hate symbol and taken down. It's not going to happen.
Well, and just this whole, and I have to tell you this, and I've said this for a while, and I've got a lot of black friends, just this whole hyphenated, it goes deeper to this whole thing of, African-American.
Mm-hmm.
African-American. What is an African-American, I mean, aren't we all Americans? This is what causes divisiveness in our culture. And I have to say, Barack Obama is the most divisive president we've ever had. that I can remember in modern times. I mean,
wait, you're not enjoying all the racial healing?
Yeah,
that
right.
We've experienced.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it really is amazing. I mean, and now you have, and I've been watching the last couple of days these videos of black racists posting videos about how it's open season now on crackers and Whitey, and cops are going to die, and this comes from the top. This comes from the White House, because the president sets the tone for the rest of the country, and it's kind of tacitly wink wink okay that this is going on.
Yeah, and you know where it goes back to? I mean, the first clue that this was okay was the new Black Panthers from Philadelphia, who Holder came in and just refused to prosecute them. They had an airtight case against these guys who were intimidating people outside a polling place in Philadelphia. They had an airtight case. Holder came in and dropped it.
Yeah.
That was a clue that this was going to be a different kind of administration. There was going to be a nod and a wink, and, you know, we're getting back at Whitey, basically.
Yeah. I mean, but this even goes back further, because do you remember when Oklahoma bombing, when Bill Clinton came out and they said it was that they thought it was immediately, you know, it was the white supremacists, of course, you know.
Right.
You know, this goes back, and to me, isn't it all, like, when you kill somebody, isn't it all a hate crime? what's the difference? You know, it's all a hate crime. I mean, it's not an act of love, is it?
No, and see, that's the reason, that's a big part of the reason that the symbol of justice has her eyes closed, is blindfolded. Okay, it doesn't matter what your intent was. I mean, it doesn't matter that you hated somebody or loved them. If you killed them, you killed them.
And
if you're guilty of murder, you're guilty of murder. Period.
And I think it's done out of hate. I mean, I just I don't see any. I mean, it's all a hate crime. I just don't see how, you know. I just, you know, again, this distinction and this double standard is just amazing. This is a hate group, and I want to see, where's the Southern Poverty Law Center on this group?
They're not,
you know, I mean, it's a hate group, plain and simple. They are racists, but you know, if you're black, you can't be a racist, I guess. You know,
and they encourage violence flat out.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing playful about it.
Yeah.
And
there's no question.
It's sad that, you know, they get winked at by the mainstream media. It's one of the most shameful things I've seen in a long time.
It really is. All right, I got to run, Matt. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Then we'll talk to you soon.
Great talking to you.
All right, we'll be right back.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Stocks and mutual funds are a sucker's bet. They require the most capital, are risk management nightmares, have no tax advantages, only trade during the day, and more. But they're touted by the financial industry as the key to your financial success. The reality is they are the key to the success of the people who sell them to you, not to the people who buy them. Most of our students end up trading options, futures, or currencies, not stocks, and certainly not mutual funds. Learn why by coming to a half-day class to learn how the markets really work and how you can use them to create more income and build and protect wealth in just a few hours a week. If you're serious about making money in the market, call Online Trading Academy Phoenix at 8448 Income and register for one of our half-day classes. Mention 1100 KFNX and get two free tickets. Seating is very limited, so call 8448 Income now. That's 844-846-2663. 8448 Income now.
Have you looked in your jewelry box lately? If you're like most people, chances are you'll have all kinds of jewelry, gems, and diamonds that you no longer wear, or watches that no longer work. If these items would be more valuable to you as cash, come to London Gold,
the jewelry store that smart shoppers have trusted for over 30 years. With today's high prices for gold, now is the time to let London Gold buy from you. Stop by one of our three valley-wide locations, where our precious metal specialists are always on hand to evaluate your items. We will carefully test and examine each piece to determine its weight and current market value. Then we will make you an offer. If you accept, we'll pay you on the spot. And there's never any pressure to sell. Walk away anytime. No charge, no hassle. And if by chance something catches your eye in our showroom, take advantage of our 20% bonus offer towards our new purchase. Imagine, in one visit you can trade in old style for new ones and take home cash to boot.
London Gold, it's the best.
1, 2, 3, 5!
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
The Dow plunged 469 points or 2.8% yesterday amid new evidence that China's economic slowdown is hurting global commerce. Shares tumbled in Europe and Asia and continued to fall in China. This is the
With all due respect, it's not all China.
It's not all China.
We've had a lot to do with what's going on right here at home.
Right, exactly. And you're going to see, I have no doubt, and I've said this, and I said this on my show, you're going to see more and more of this. You're going to see this volatility in the market. But the most important thing is that it continues to slide downward. So you'll have upticks, you'll have downticks, but more than likely the downs will be larger than the ups. For instance, today, futures are up. The volatility index, though, is sky high right now. Okay? But Dow futures are up this morning, so you'll probably have the market go up today. You watch. But now we have this death cross pattern. A death cross pattern has continued to spread throughout the market. The Russell 2000 index of small cap stocks became the latest victim. The index's 50-day moving average fell 12.2295 yesterday, crossing below the 200-day moving average. This is called a death cross when they cross each other. And it's an ominous sign for the market and shows that things ain't looking really good.
Yeah, especially with small caps, which they say is relatively safe.
Yeah, uh-huh. And also, look at the volatility in the oil markets as well. You've got...
they lost, I believe, 6% yesterday?
Yeah, yeah. And you're going to continue to see that because the Saudis have made this bet that they're going to put American oil producers out of business because it cost a lot more money for American oil producers to do deep oil drilling in the ocean, fracking, all that stuff. The Saudis can weather it. The U.S. can't. And yeah, it's good for the gas tank, but it's bad for the economy. So it's a good news, bad news deal. And again, I think that you're only going to see more and more of this continue. You've got the markets in a complete turmoil. You've got basically no growth for the last 7 years of this administration. What's this guy done? What's he accomplished? Oh, yeah, that's right. He killed Bin Laden. Jesse Waters went out to New Hampshire to ask Bernie Sanders supporters about what a Democrat socialist means. This is pretty funny. Because, of course, you know, nobody knew. Nobody has any idea what it means to be a socialist. Wait a second. Give me 1 second here. It's loading up here. People don't even know what a socialist is. And, you know, they think it's cool. You know, I heard this the other day from Wozniak, the guy that was the head of Apple, talking about how he's feeling the burn.
Now polling in New Hampshire has Senator Sanders almost even with Hillary Clinton. But as you may know, Mrs. Sanders is a socialist, a radical guy. So our question is, do his supporters in New Hampshire really know anything about him?
No.
Sanders says he is a democratic socialist. Do you know what that means?
Bernie Sanders probably has my vote.
My personal choice about why I'm voting for Bernie Sanders is because I believe that he represents me.
You look like a Sanders supporter.
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am Colonel Sanders.
Is Bernie your type?
No.
A politician?
I see. We're getting acquainted.
Instead of having a body of government who dictates what everybody else is doing, it gives kind of the power back to the people.
That's the opposite of socialism.
Is it really?
You're putting me on.
So you want to make the rich less rich?
Sure, yeah. Equality?
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Has a poor person ever offered you a job?
They have not.
This is where I live, little man.
Do you think socialism works?
I think socialism very well could work for us.
How does raising taxes on the rich help the middle class?
Never mind.
Do you have any idea what a democratic socialist is?
Obama.
Are you a democratic socialist?
Lean more towards socialism than democracy.
Bernie Sanders wants to raise taxes. What do you think about that? No? Not a good idea?
Wait, I don't want to be like one of your pinheads.
Too late.
Do you think socialism is good for America?
Yes, absolutely.
It wasn't very good for Greece, though, was it?
Let me think for a minute.
Do you support Bernie Sanders' tax plan?
I don't really know what Bernie Sanders' tax plan is right now.
Do you think Bernie Sanders has a plan to defeat ISIS? What do you think Bernie's plan is to stop illegal immigration? So you like Bernie Sanders, you just don't know what any of his plans are.
That just happened.
How does raising taxes on the wealthy help the middle class?
Because there will be a bigger middle class.
But Obama already raised taxes on the wealthy and the middle class is shrinking.
I guess one of us got confused.
Bernie Sanders supports Planned Parenthood. Do you?
Absolutely.
So you're okay with them harvesting organs?
That is not what is happening.
What was happening?
I'm not 100% sure.
Here's a symbol.
Thank you.
I just redistributed the wealth right there.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you're
so
welcome.
Much. Doing your part.
Do you like capitalism?
No.
A dollar came from capitalism. See how that trickled down?
If you want to know socialism in play right now in Venezuela.
Yeah, I heard. Read an article last week that called, the only difference between us and Venezuela is that we have nuclear capabilities.
Well, no. I mean, they are basically having riots
right,
in the streets.
Right, direction we're heading.
And they can't, there's no toilet paper, and they've got...
And I don't know if you saw this headline on Drudge. It says, panic super rich buying bolt holes with private airstrips to escape if poor rise up.
Oh, jeez, Steve. Now you're
was on Drudge.
Now you're getting Alex Jones on me.
No, that was on Drudge.
All right, I got to run. We were out of time, but check out the website, edwardwoodson.com. That's edwardwoodson.com. Also, like us on Facebook. Send me your friend request. If you want to listen to the show or other shows, we've got the podcasts up at woodsonarchive.com. Also, follow me on Twitter, at Ed Woodson Show. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day. To give you your fair share of the truth, because you're entitled to it.
Nobody should be president for life.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
Central Dental Care, longtime 1100 supporter, is giving a special for new patients. Get a regular cleaning, x-rays, a whole mouth exam, and new you 30-minute teeth whitening for only $95, regularly $750. Serving Arizona for 13 years, Central Dental Care provides experienced, top-rated dentistry. Call 602-903-5935 to give yourself or someone you know a brighter smile. 602-903-5935 or visit centraldentalcare.com.
Russ on the Radio, Thursday at 4 p.m. A show like no other. Russ Stevenson, the oral surgeon of creativity, puts inventors, authors, and marketers in the hot seat, painlessly extracting their most jealously guarded secrets. Secrets that will guide you through the process of creativity and invention and will turn your ideas into money. Remember, nothing happens until something is created. To assist Russ during his delicate oral operations, tune in and call in to Russ on the Radio, Thursday at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This month, our pollen defleur is on special. Natural support for the bladder, prostate, urinary, immune, and menopausal health.